Dr. Richard O'Brien, Head of Scientific Evaluation for the Foundation for New Diagnostics. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
A big part, a key part of the global plan to stop tuberculosis is this emphasis on new tools. So diagnostics, effective treatments, and a vaccine. Your current position, obviously, you deal mostly with diagnostics. Can you tell us what the state of diagnostics for tuberculosis is today? What are the tools?
Well, things are radically changing. When WHO first started its DOTS Plus, its DOTS treatment program or DOTS treatment strategy, the emphasis was on the microscope and examining sputum, looking under the microscope for TB germs or Aspergillus bacilli. It's a not so easy to perform test and not terribly sensitive, that is, it misses many cases. Given the impact of the HIV epidemic on tuberculosis, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, and the spreading problem of what's referred to as multi-drug resistant or MDR-TB, and now extensive drug resistant or XDR-TB, not only in sub-Saharan Africa, where there's been a lot of attention to this problem, but particularly in Eastern Asia, the former Soviet Union countries, China and India, additional diagnostic needs because microscope is insufficient to diagnose patients with HIV and tuberculosis, and particularly drug-resistant patients.
So what is some of the work that FIND is doing to actually try and get new diagnostics available to people to help improve diagnosing tuberculosis?
Well, we're working across the entire spectrum of the diagnostic pipeline, from discovery work and the development of very simple tests that can be used in the periphery, in the health sectors of developing countries, areas which don't even have microscopes available. And these are what we refer to as point-of-care tests that can be like a dipstick. Very low technical requirements, but very easy and rapid and inexpensive. That's still some time off. At the other extreme is to push implementation of currently available technologies such as liquid culture systems and liquid drug susceptibility systems, which are rapid and much more sensitive than those currently based on solid media and widely used in industrialized countries, but pushing this technology to address both the HIV-associated TB problem and the MDR problem in lower-income countries.
Now, I've heard people say that it has happened that someone actually can die of tuberculosis before they actually get their diagnosis back, that they actually have tuberculosis. Is that true, and why does that happen?
I would guess that it's more common that patients are never diagnosed or the diagnosis is never considered, and then they die of tuberculosis because they don't have access to diagnostic facilities, or in some cases, and even in developed countries like the United States and Western Europe, the diagnosis is not considered, and patients die of undiagnosed tuberculosis. Where the diagnostic delay is probably most critical, though, is in HIV-infected patients who are more difficult to diagnose because microscopy, use of microscope, is insufficiently sensitive or inadequate. And chest X-ray, if available, often has unusual or atypical presentations. And the diagnostic process for what's referred to as microscope-negative TB can take 4 weeks or 6 weeks, very complicated in terms of what is required of the patient, multiple visits, and during that time, particularly HIV-infected patients with tuberculosis may actually die before the diagnosis is made.
Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago drug-resistant tuberculosis. Are there actually diagnostic tests available for multiple drug-resistant and then extensively drug-resistant TB?
Well, the diagnosis has to be based on culture and culture-based drug susceptibility testing, either on solid media, which is very slow, up to 6 to 8 weeks, or liquid systems, which are more rapid, 2 to 3 weeks. We are also working on some very rapid tests using different types of technology to presumptively diagnose MDR-TB, multiple drug-resistant TB, in hours to just a few days.
Let's shift gears just a little bit to treatment. There hasn't been a new tuberculosis drug in more than 40 years, correct?
That's correct, yes.
What is the current treatment then now that's available for patients?
Well, the standard treatment regimen recommended by not only WHO for use in developing countries, but also in industrialized countries, is a 6-month treatment regimen that involves 2 major drugs throughout the 6 months and an additional 2 drugs during the first 2 months. So it's a long period of treatment, particularly in the first 2 months of treatment, 4 different medicines, up to 16 pills a day, and quite demanding on patients and treatment services to ensure patient adherence and completion and cure. If patients do take their therapy, and if they have drug-susceptible TB that is not drug-resistant, virtually 100% of patients can be cured. But adherence for treatment is a problem, and drug resistance, as we know, is an increasing problem.
So what's in the works, then, to try and make treatment simpler?
Well, there are 5 drugs that are in early clinical development, that is, being tested in patients. One of those, or actually 2 of those drugs, a class of drugs known as fluoroquinolones, are available throughout the world for the treatment of bacterial infections, but appear to be very effective in TB treatment as well. In fact, they're used for MDR TB treatment. But we believe that a combination of one of these new drugs with several of the current TB drugs might shorten therapy down to perhaps 4 months. And that's a bit of an improvement over 6 months, but still it's not ultimately what we would like to have as a single dose or 2 or 3 weeks of treatment to be cured. And that's still a dream. Will require a lot more work in basic science to understand why treatment must be so long currently and to develop drugs or new classes of drugs that will effectively shorten therapy down to just several weeks.
And last question for you. Can you tell me where we stand now in terms of a vaccine for tuberculosis?
Well, there's actually been very remarkable progress in vaccines, which can be the most challenging because the protective immune response is not well understood. The currently available vaccine that's widely used and given to newborns throughout the developing world with remarkably high coverage, at least 80% of children born in developing countries receive this vaccine, protects against serious forms and fatal forms of tuberculosis in young children, but doesn't protect against actually becoming infected and years later developing pulmonary tuberculosis as a adolescent or an adult. And that's the kind that continues to spread. So the vaccine, while effective in preventing serious disease in young children, has had no impact on the TB situation. There are new vaccines also in early clinical development, and at least 5 vaccine candidates that are currently being tested. And the expectation is that within 10 years, or perhaps as early as 2015, there will be a new vaccine on the market and available.
So perhaps in time for the end of the global plan to stop tuberculosis.
We're hoping so.
Meet that deadline.
Yes.
Dr. Richard O'Brien, Head of Scientific Evaluation for the Foundation for New Diagnostics, we appreciate your time today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.